The New Testament reading today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we in fact suffer with him so that he may be also glorified, we may be also glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Before we get to this, this is the passage in John where Jesus is explaining to all of his disciples that he is getting ready to leave them, but they will not be alone because the Holy Spirit is coming to be with him, or to be with all of them, and to be with the world. And that's maybe a little unsettling for the disciples, but probably more than anything, it's probably a little bit weird, right? What do you mean you are going to be gone, but then this body, this entity that we may or may not be able to see is going to be with us? So you can just imagine how the disciples are feeling. Today on Pentecost, when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, normally, often, we read from the book of Acts, because there are two, in the New Testament, there are two stories of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The one that we're familiar with in Acts is very public, and it's very noisy. And there's a place for that and a time for that. Sometimes we forget that Jesus also knew that this was going to be such a confusing time for his disciples that he needed to be able to explain it to them personally. It's a little bit like if you work in a very large office and you have an immediate boss, and then you go to this big meeting and your immediate boss explains that, okay, so now we're changing everything, and you didn't have a clue what was happening. That's a little bit what Jesus is doing. I'm getting ready to explain to the world that I'm leaving, but the gift of the Holy Spirit is coming to be with you. It's almost like you want to make sure that your staff, in this case, the disciples, have a heads up. They don't want to be the last to know. And so in John, we have this beautiful section called the Farewell Discourses. And it's Jesus saying goodbye to the disciples. It actually goes from chapter 13 to chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. And right where our passage is today, we're going to hear that instead of public, noisy, everybody knows all at the same time, that in John, we hear this message from Jesus that is subtle and is also incredibly intimate. It's what you would expect of the people that you're closest to, right? It's what I would expect. And sometimes I'm not very good at remembering, but it's what I hope that I always remember. So as we listen, remember that this is Jesus saying, telling his disciples that things are going to change drastically. From the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17, and then 25 through 27. Hear the words of our Lord. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." And this is my favorite part. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. I love this story. Okay, I know. I've probably said it more than 57 times. I love the Gospel of John. Out of the four Gospels, it's my favorite because of passages like this. The Gospel of John is written to be more intimate, and it's written to remind us that that's who God is for us, intimate and loving and patient and kind. So this calls to the question for all of us. If we listen to Jesus, if we read the words of Jesus, if we believe the words of Jesus, it reminds us to look back. It's one of the joys of Pentecost that we get to see how our faith developed. So, think for just a second. How is it that you came to believe in God? That's thinking time. If I had like the little music from Jeopardy, you'd probably get it. But this is our thinking time. How is it that you believe? When I think back on my belief, it's really difficult for me to know a time when I did not believe in God, because as my parents told me often, I was in church for the very first time before I was even a week old. And I went to church regularly. And as I was growing up, and as I were and went to middle school and high school, the only time I could choose not to go to church was, I had to have a fever, I had to have a temperature. Or, you know, I was physically sick. Mom counted that too. So I've spent my life in church. It was expected of me, and it was required of me in my household. And sometimes I would get a little icky about that, especially when you got into high school and you realized that, you mean not everybody goes to church? You know, as you talk around and you have these friends from different groups, I remember thinking, that's a choice? Because it was never a choice in my home. We went. And because we went, my best friends, in fact, and those of you know that I just turned 70 last week, I have friends from my elementary school days that are still my good friends because we were friends through church. We've moved in different times, but we still work hard to be together. That's how I came to believe. It was modeled in my home, and it was modeled in my church, and it was modeled through my friends. That's how I came to believe. What about you? I think it's important that every once in a while we check in with that, just to see. Now I'm going to go on to tell you that when I went to college, you know, all bets were off. I was on my own, and in fact, I remember my dad saying after I'd been away to college for a few months and I came home for Thanksgiving, and my dad said, "So now what church are you going to, Laura Kay?" Well, I had to scramble a little bit because, you know, it wasn't. So I had that time away, and I can remember my father saying, "Daughter, you know what is right." I wish I could tell you that that immediately turned me around. It did not. However, when I was on my own, when I was teaching, and when I had my own place in a different part of Indianapolis than my parents lived, I don't think it was a coincidence that right across the street from my apartment building was a church that became my church home until I left the city. That's how I came to believe. What about you? I'm just going to let that sit with you. I hope at some point in time today, either that comes back to your thoughts, or somebody who might also be here says, "Did you have an answer? Did you know?" I know that there are many of you in this room who are like me. You don't ever remember a time in your life when you didn't believe in God, whether you were faithful to a church or not. I get that. In our scripture today, there are four times that Jesus challenges his disciples to believe. So it has to be important. He said it over and over and over to them. I like verse 10. Verse 10 says, and let me remind you again, "Do you not believe that I am the Father, that I am in the Father and the Father is me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. I am in the Father and the Father is in me." I don't think that that's just a relationship that Jesus had with God the Father. I think we have the exact same relationship. That God dwells in our hearts and in our souls, and God is in us and we are in God. I like that idea. But the disciples are here with this man that they've been following for a few years. A man they've come to love and that they've come to know. And it's not a mistake that these are called the farewell discourses. Jesus is getting ready to leave this world. And before he does, in the Gospel of John, he wants to remind them, "Even if I am not present with you physically, I am always, always with you." And it has to be a little strange for the disciples, right? They haven't known a relationship like this. So the good news is that because we know Jesus, we know God, and God is always with us. The not so good news for the disciples is what happens when Jesus is no longer around. What happens when I'm not hearing every single day what I should be doing? Within our story today, there are some major themes. The first one is, number one, Jesus is leaving. The second one, well, all you followers, you're going to stay. And the third one is that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you, and you can continue to work because the Holy Spirit is in you. That's great. Because it's all spelled out nice and neat, right? We get that. we can follow those directions. Jesus is leaving, we're staying, the Holy Spirit's going to be with us. Let's move on. The problem is the disciples couldn't move on. They got so stuck on the very first point that Jesus is leaving. And they didn't know how to handle that. Now, I have to tell you, I know it's kind of irreverent, but it reminded me of a Monty Python skit. Did anybody see Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Has anybody seen it more than 27 times? That's me. There's a part in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And the king is in the castle, and he has taken a prisoner up, and he is explaining to the guards what he wants them to do. So he says, guards, make sure the prince does not leave this room until I come and get him. And the guard says, not leave the room, even if you come to get him. No, 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 until I come and get him. Until you come and get him, we aren't to enter the room. No, no, you stay in the room, and I will come and get him. Make sure he doesn't leave. And you'll come and get him. Right. We don't have to do anything apart, just stop him entering the room. No, no, leaving the room. You get the idea. I think that that sometimes is how God kind of looks at us, like we are a Monty Python skit. How do you not get it? Wouldn't that be awesome? How do you not get it? I'm saying these words clearly. And in this section, Jesus is so patient and kind. The discourses go on for many chapters because Jesus wants to assure them, just like Jesus wants to assure us. We don't have to watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail, although I highly recommend it, to understand that we sometimes miss the point. But even, and here's the good news, but even when we do, God is more faithful to us than this king is to his guards. God is never going to leave us and never going to stop reminding us how loved we are. I love that. Jesus came because humanity could not be in relationship with one whom they didn't know. They knew of God. Their ancestors had been worshiping the Hebrew God, but they didn't really know them. They didn't really know him. And that's why Jesus came to this earth. So there would be a living example of who God was and how God relates to all of us. And now that he's leaving, God knows there is going to be a hole in their hearts, a hole in the way they act, and a hole in the way that they can communicate with each other. And so God says, hear me say this to you. I am not leaving you alone. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, will be there to help you, to comfort you, to intercede for you, and instruct you. Because that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was with his disciples to help them and to comfort them, to intercede and instruct, and to be with them when they had to pick up the pieces, to celebrate with them when the joyful things happened. I love that. The difference, I believe, in our God and other deities of the world is that our God's promise is personal. I come to you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I come to you. I know your pain, whatever it may be. I know your desires, whatever they may be, because I am the God who created you, and I am the God who knows you and loves you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the incarnate Christ needs not only our ears and our hearts, but needs living people who will follow him. Living people who will follow him and help others understand who God is. So in other words, Jesus is saying to the disciples then and saying to us now, do the work. Do the work. I'll be with you. I will help you. I will guide you. Will you mess up? Well, yeah, probably, because we're human. Do the work. Do the work. Because the body of Christ took up space on this earth, we become part of that plan. We take up space. And do we do it so that we can help others know God better? I believe that's what God asks us to do. We have a relationship with Jesus, and now we understand the relationship between Jesus and the Father and how that existed. And when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, then we get to see the community and the Holy Spirit will work together. And we become the instruments of God. Jesus is with us spiritually. Jesus will never leave us, just like he said to the disciples, I am not leaving you orphaned. The Holy Spirit will fill you and will remind you of all the things that we have experienced together. And the same is true for us today. I can think back on my life and I see the places that God has led me and guided me, and that was through the Holy Spirit. My guess is, no. I know from hearing your stories that for a lot of you, it's true for you as well. Verse 12 says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. God is letting us know, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, because of the teachings of Jesus, because of God our Creator, we will do even greater works. I love that. Well, okay, kind of scares me a little bit, but I love it. That it isn't just me, it isn't just you personally, it's us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, taught by Jesus, and overseen by God the Father. The best news of all, I believe, is that last verse, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Here is the peace that I need to remember. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. At those moments when I am most troubled and I am most afraid, my first thought should always be to give that to God, to ask God to help me, to ask God to lead me, to let the Holy Spirit remind me I am not alone. Jesus gives us deep peace, and Jesus gives us rest. But I believe on this Pentecost Sunday, we also need the reminder that Jesus also sets us on an adventure. The adventure of life together, the adventure of life in every aspect of our lives. So happy Pentecost. As these balloons are high in the air, as some of them kind of sink, as they move and sway with the wind and the breeze, let it all remind us
think this is just like our spirits. When we soar, when we sink, when we move, and we don't do it alone because God is with us. Amen.